Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know what year was the second dose of the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR vaccine recommended? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing the Association of Community Cancer Centers Multiple Myeloma Dispensing Project with Carolis Hanna, Oncology Pharmacy Manager at mHealth Fairview. According to Hanna, the Multiple Myeloma Dispensing Project is intended to help treat the disease state itself and the logistics in treating patients with multiple myeloma. He hopes that this project will address many of the things that are in the process that are fragmented.
Multiple myeloma patients are a unique group of patients that almost any regimen that they're going to be on is going to be a triplet regimen that consists of infusional therapies given within an infusion center or a healthcare system. And they're also on oral chemotherapy for the most part. So this is, you know, generally some type of proteasome inhibitor, an immunomodulatory drug. And then there's obviously numerous other therapeutic options in this space as well. But really because of that, we've realized that the logistics of treating multiple myeloma patients have become extremely, extremely complex, because we know that, getting access to the infusional therapies tends to go through medical benefits. For example, going through the oral chemotherapy side, these tend to go through the specialty pharmacies and their pharmacy benefits. And then on top of that, additional logistics that add to the overall multiple myeloma cascade is that many of these patients on the oral chemotherapy side have to be enrolled within a REMS program. So not only do you see one aspect of dispensing in terms of myeloma patients, but it's really every aspect that we see across the spectrum of cancer care. So really the scope of this project was to develop various deliverables and also interview various cancer centers throughout the country, some being large academics, some being very small community cancer centers, and really try to understand best practices that's in terms of timeliness to care, what are the logistics and operations that they have in place, which members of the multidisciplinary team are part of the care in managing multiple myeloma patients, and what resources that are available for patients with multiple myeloma to help streamline all of this. So, and then ultimately we took all that data we were able to collect, and thus, you know, we created the deliverables that are currently available to our audiences. So, in addition to that, we also identified various pain points that these cancer centers, wasn't just what they're doing well, but also where different areas that maybe we missed in identifying. I would consider the project, it was very, very successful. We gained very positive insights from various cancer centers. And I would obviously encourage everyone to kind of check out the program that we have on the ACCC website. And I'm hoping that through this project and through some of these deliverables, we were able to achieve that we've identified key areas where these fragmented processes are, and then it can create insight in terms of pharma, in terms of payers, in terms of healthcare providers, of how we can help minimize and mitigate many of these strategies.
Some different elements of the project that are currently going on for others to be informed include a publication, an online PDF, and on-demand webinars.
And again, you'll see other things on the ACCC website in terms of dispensing models, but this one was the multiple myeloma. So all the deliverables are currently available. So some of those included a publication in the ACCC magazine. This publication is also available on the ACCC website, and it's a PDF that's free to download. The goal of this specific publication, it highlighted what we found from the interviews we did with various cancer centers. So again, those cancer centers that we interviewed, again, large academics with specialty pharmacy access versus small community cancer centers that may not have access to dispense specialty medications. We highlighted in this publication what they did well, what are some pain points identified, and what are some ways we can help mitigate some of those. So we went out there, we were able to identify key thought leaders within the field, as well as content experts, and we developed about 6 or 7 on-demand webinars. Now, these webinars helped in identifying disparities and access to clinical trials in the multiple myeloma patient population. We also looked at various things such as communication strategies and how we work with our patients who are on multiple myeloma therapies. And again, some goes back to that fragmentation of care where there are so many what I like to call cooks in the kitchen caring for these patients and how we can optimize the communication strategy.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy hero Carrie James from King's Daughters Health Hospital in Madison, Indiana. In her role as clinical coordinator, James has helped the nursing staff, kept patients calm and comfortable, and encouraged her staff to continue improving in their fields. In addition to assisting nurses with codes, James has started attending the intubations for patients with COVID-19 and drawing up the necessary medications, all while outside the patient rooms for safety. She has also ensured patients have the needed medications while avoiding using medications experiencing shortages. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. In terms of one of the webinars that Hannah is hosting, which is titled Communication Strategies for Discussing Multiple Myeloma with Patients, he emphasizes how important it is to communicate with patients, even if COVID-19 did not exist.
The key thing with multiple myeloma is majority of your patients are elderly. Some of these patients may or may not have a caretaker in place. And then on top of that, they receive extremely complex regimens. You have most of the time a triplet regimen, which consists of a proteasome inhibitor that's given once to twice a week. You have an immunomodulatory drug given for an X number of days on for a couple of weeks, and then they get a week break. And then you have a steroid component for the most part as well, taken also once a week. But in addition to that, these patients are having to take antiviral prophylaxis. They have to take anticoagulation prophylaxis because of the risks of developing clots from some of their therapies. There's a REMS program that they have to adhere to. And depending on their age, there could be more requirements within the REMS program. So communication with these patients is of utmost importance. Now, having that multidisciplinary approach, having the, you know, knowing who is responsible for what in terms of that communication is very, very important in having these patients succeed while they're on treatment.
As for the potential impact of this project on providers and patients in the short and long term, Hannah says that this project has potential in the oncology area and is a great starting point in a fragmented care model.
I think in terms of short term, this helps in increase awareness to healthcare providers, to patients, to pharma, and to payers. And we need to do better for our patients because of all these different things we were able to identify in the fragmentation of care. Hopefully, in the long term, we can then begin to develop policies and strategies that will help enable our healthcare teams and better manage these patients.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The year the second dose of the MMR vaccine was recommended was 1989. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended a routine second dose of the MMR vaccine in 1989 after a measles outbreak occurred among school-aged children, some of whom had previously received one dose of the vaccine. It is now recommended that children receive the first MMR dose at 12 to 15 months and the second one at 4 to 6 years of age. Pharmacists can always play an important role in educating families on the importance of staying up to date on the MMR vaccine to prevent measles outbreaks. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.